Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to another edition of This Week in Music Videos, brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com. This is the music video podcast where we talk about the week in music videos, what's going on in music videos. My name, after a brief hiatus, is Adam of IMVDB fame, internet famous, and with me is usual, someone who is leaps and bounds more internet famous than I could ever hope to be, is Mr. Doug Klinger, also of IMVDB fame, but just more so. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. I got bitches asking me for the code for the Wi-Fi.
That's right. I wonder what Drake's Wi-Fi code is.
I bet you it's Drake.
Yeah, but who calls it a Wi-Fi? First of all, who calls it a Wi-Fi code? I would call it a password.
I would too, but I got bitches asking me for the password for the Wi-Fi. It doesn't quite fit. But it's not a code. It's not like a punch key pad that lets you into a neighborhood.
I always thought that if I went to Drake's house, there would be like a laminated sheet somewhere, like with the Wi-Fi code on. I wouldn't have to ask Drake, right?
Right.
You wouldn't be like, hey, Drake, how do I get on your Wi-Fi? First of all, I would tough it out as long as I could on LTE, assuming that I had LTE coverage there. If I was on 4G or, God forbid, the Edge network, then I would definitely ask Drake for the Wi-Fi. But first I would look around, sort of like a hotel, thinking.
Trying to figure it out. Yeah, that makes sense. But like, as far as I can tell, you're not the bitch that Drake is talking about. In that,
yeah, they're just like, you know, whatever, I'm here, I'm gonna ask Drake for the code for the
Wi-Fi. Those are bitches. Anyone who's doing that, and this is not a gender thing, anyone who's like, yo, Drake, what's the Wi-Fi, like, gender neutral, that person's a bitch.
I've been away for a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm working on the coal mine.
Working on the coal mine thing, you know, let's just say I was away. You don't need to know anything else other than that.
Yeah, no, you gotta keep the mystery alive.
So I'm back. I'm also back into IMVDB stuff, you know, and while I was away taking a short sabbatical, I was thinking about, you know, IMVDB and kind of witnessing a huge, like, kind of sea change in music videos over like the past few months that I kind of got to sit back and be more of a spectator of it. And, you know, instead of thinking about it, you know, through the lens of IMVDB, which is interesting because so many things have happened in the last few months with music videos, and you guys have talked about a few of them on the previous podcasts that you guys have done without me. It's okay that you guys did it without me. I'm not mad.
That's much. Good. I'm glad you're not mad. You did have to put it up onto the internet for us, so we couldn't have done it without you. But I appreciate you not being angry.
I'm a little angry.
You feel it, but you can kind of push through it.
I put it up on Amazon S3 through the tears. But before we get to talking about, you know, all that stuff, you know, the week in music videos and beyond, Doug, we have to mention that one of our favorite music video festivals, Sprockets International Music Video Festival, is coming up later this month.
It is. It's actually it's next weekend. We're recording this podcast on July 16th, and it's next weekend in Athens, Georgia.
Right. This is Thursday. It's not on Saturday.
No. It's the following, not this weekend, next weekend.
Right. Okay. So it's in July 24th and the 25th in Athens, Georgia. And Doug, you are a judge.
I'm judging. I'm looking at music videos and picking the goods.
Wow.
One of many illustrious judges that all is illustrious a word? I think it is.
Oh, it's totally a word. Yeah, but no, you would don't say many. I mean, maybe one of like five.
Yeah, that's is five many?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think when it comes to like
I thought a it went a group, couple, few, many. I thought it was just three things.
So you're going to be judging because at Sprockets there is the main music video festival like show, and then there's like a specific one to Georgia. Are you judging both?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so, what do you think of the video so far?
It's a great showing. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay, well, you gotta get on that.
I gotta get on that.
But Sprockets is always a super good time.
It's a great time, and you went 2 years ago, and we both went last year, and you talked it up, and you did not disappoint. You were like, "Dude, this is great. Athens is the coolest," and you were absolutely right. The thing is, if anyone's listening to this who's gonna go, they probably already know that because they live in Athens. But if you do, you should go and maybe take some pictures for
Or if you're
us.
anywhere even close to Athens.
Yeah, if you're in Georgia at all, or in the South,
Yeah, and
anyone in the South.
Athens is really awesome because, I mean, people may know that's where REM is from. And everybody's got an REM story. When I was there, everybody's like, "Hey, that's where REM did the thing." As you drive around, you're like, "Wow, REM's really a big deal." But there's so many, it's much more to REM. Well, there's much more to Athens than REM. I'm sure there's
There's
much more
much
to
more.
REM than Athens. I'm sure they're a
Yeah,
pretty
just
good
a little
band.
bit, probably. What's the other band of Montreal or something? No,
I think of Montreal, but
not of them. Who was it? It was that doesn't make sense. Who was it that did that they made those animated bumpers about last year? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but the people who
They're
did
famous.
Love Shack are from Athens.
Nelly and the C-56.
What's that?
No, B-52s.
The B-52s, right? I think Montreal is from Athens. I think it's a misnomer. I think of Montreal is actually.
Oh, you're right. So that's who the bumpers. You know the
That's right.
bumpers.
Yeah. The bumpers, the Flickskinny bumpers,
Flick
which are
skinny.
really pretty hilarious.
Right.
And it takes place at the 40 Watt, which is kind of a famous, definitely a famous, like, music and entertainment venue in Athens, Georgia.
I think a lot of comedians go through there now. I
That's
saw
true.
like Rob Delaney or somebody tweeting it up. Yeah, I follow Rob Delaney on Twitter. No
Oh,
big
whoa. How'd you pull that off?
deal. It's tough. So first of all, you have to have a Twitter account, and then you need to find Rob Delaney's Twitter account, and then you need to press follow.
I mean, that's fine for Doug,
Yeah,
but
no,
for the rest
not
of us,
everybody
I'm not
can do
really
that.
sure.
Well, that's why I'm sharing what I found out by doing that. And it's that Rob Delaney has been to the 40 Watt.
So yeah, the 40 Watt is awesome. The whole thing is awesome, and you should check it out. It's July. It's a summer. Go to Georgia. Chill out. Last year, I gave a talk at Sprockets, which was a lot of fun.
A talk that you turned into a blog post.
Turned into a blog post, and I turned that blog post into some cash.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you guys, I'm rolling in that blog post money.
So much blog post money.
So speaking of, I don't even know. Speaking of
Speaking of blog.
cash money, I guess. So we're gonna talk about some music videos from the week, but I think the time is a ripe. I think you can say is ripe or is a ripe, and I'm gonna go with is a ripe for talking about just the sort of the large change that music videos have gone through in the last few months of all these gigantic companies wanting to kind of throw their hat into the ring of the music video sphere, and one of them being Apple Music.
They are throwing their hat into the ring, but they're also essentially trying to leverage music videos for a gain.
Right, which is kind of weird because for a long time people were like, people, well, essentially gave music videos away, right? And I think we kind of took that for granted. Like, people were like, "Here, I have some music videos. Who gives a shit? We'll just, spend bottom dollar on this, and we'll see what happens." And I think for the past, who knows how many years, that's been the attitude. Like, music videos are a sunk cost, but now they're starting to become part of a kind of a package of like revenue generating streams.
Or just like something that they're convinced, like trying to use to convince people to. I mean, none of these companies who are leveraging music videos to try to get users, like Apple Music or Tidal, or what's the Ellen one?
Ellen has a music
Vessel,
service?
Vessel, Vessel. It's a video service, but I think that they're going to have music content or
Oh
something.
no.
Anyway, all of these folks who are services that are trying to leverage music videos aren't billing themselves as music video providers. That is just something that they're trying to use as a to convince people. It's like, oh, come use my overpriced for nothing streaming service, and in exchange, I'm going to give you the access to this Nicki Minaj video that you can't see otherwise. It's they're not billing themselves as music video services. They're billing themselves as other stuff, and then trying to leverage these music videos. So it's like this weird in-between thing where the product really, like, on the for the company isn't music videos, but they're still trying to leverage music videos as if they're product.
Yeah, it is a really weird relationship, and I think nobody like embodies that relationship and like the strangeness of it better than Apple, because I think we mentioned a few times before on the podcast Apple's very odd relationship to music videos, where iTunes is 10 years. How old is the iTunes store? I think it's got to be more than, I think it's 12 years old now. I think it debuted in 2003.
Well, did what? Yeah, something like that. Right. It wasn't there when we were in high school.
Right, and it started when we were in high school. I think seniors, so we're in 2003, and a few years later, they started putting music videos for free on there. I think around 2004, and then by like 2006, iTunes, like weirdly enough, and people never really talk about this, and I don't know why, because it's not like hidden anywhere. It's like right next to all the main stuff. It's just like one tab click away. The iTunes store is, one of the only places where you can like buy music videos. You can buy almost any music video for like $2, and then you own a
Yeah,
copy of it.
and so and so you used to be able to also, I don't know if you had to buy them before, but I knew that for a while Apple was trying to leverage music videos for at least partial gain. Like, there was a few times where there was like a very, very brief music video premiere on iTunes, and then it went to YouTube. There was two Daniels videos, I think, did this. Definitely one that I remember specifically was the I think it's the their Shins video for Is It's Only Life, and or is that the Hero one? Anyway, the Daniel Shins video premiered on iTunes, and I talked to Daniels about it, and they mentioned that that there was like a direct correlation with people who bought or watched the music video on iTunes would then go buy the song. And so it's always been something that they've been trying to, like, put the music video out in front. It's like, here's the music video. Now we'll spend money on this other stuff because we showed you this.
But
And so
at the same time, like they were still putting a price tag on the music video. Like you still could, like if you still go to the iTunes music store, and we'll talk about their kind of
right.
integration. You go to the store, the part where you purchase things. On the right hand, it says top tracks or whatever, top songs. And there's a little like tab. There's like you can shift between two lists, and one of them is like top music videos. And it's not just top music videos like you can watch on YouTube, but you buy them. They're like $1.99, and they still are. So
Yeah.
they're it's not like they're being like they're not treating them as a loss leader. Like here you go, like check out the music. Or they didn't used to treat them as a loss leader. Like here, check out this music video, and now oh, you're gonna want to spend 99 cents on the track. It was here. Both of these things are worth, and actually, the video is worth double the track.
Right. There is like additional value beyond the 99 cents of having a single be get sold. You know what I mean? Those numbers go towards a larger picture, but it's interesting that Apple has maintained this $2 video thing. Like, because if you have an Apple Music account, you can watch any music video that they have. But in order to watch like the Pharrell video that premiered on Apple Music last week, you have to either pay $2 or have a subscription. They've for whatever reason decided to give the Drake video for away for free, but you still have to watch it on iTunes.apple.com in
So
order to watch it.
let's explain a little bit about like what Apple has done, because I think like I have spent a lot of time with Apple Music on my phone, and Apple Music on my computer through the iTunes interface, which I guess would be like the equivalent of like the Spotify desktop, which I spend a lot more time in Spotify desktop than I do on the mobile version.
I mean, I listen to a lot of music on the mobile version, but it's frequently set up on desktop
Right, yeah, that's where I do
playlist.
like my organizing and stuff like that.
Right.
And like I obviously I'm we're all savvy computer users, and I am having a really hard time figuring out Apple Music. It's just so confusing.
Well, and they've also had some tech issues. When this Drake video first came out, playing it was complicated and difficult, and it didn't always work.
Right, so
Not
yeah. They've
and the
got the music, so they've got the music catalog that you can buy through iTunes, and subsequently, and again, nobody really talks about this, but it's always there, and they must put some resources into it. The music video catalog that they have, along with the music catalog, you can still buy through the iTunes store, but then you can also buy subscription to Apple Music, which you can treat like Spotify, where you can stream not everything from the store. But you can also stream music videos as well. Those are kind of like baked in there, right in the same way that music videos are baked into the iTunes store. And it's really, I mean, I find the interface baffling for a number of reasons, but one of them is that well, first of all, I think one of the big complaints that I have, and I know it's, you probably be like, oh, well, you're one of the guys who started a music video database. Of course, you have this complaint, but there's no, absolutely no information about who made the music video. Even Vivo, come on, even Vivo is putting up director stuff now.
And so I know that on the Drake video, it's in the title of the video, it says Drake Energy directed by Flor and Manu, but there's nothing built into the interface for director. Like, unless every artist is going to put the director name within the title, which Drake so far is the only one who have done that, there will be no recognition of the person who made the video.
Or if they do something like for the Kendrick Lamar "All Right" video, they the screen grab that they choose has had Colin Tilley's name in there, but and it's not even that people are gonna be like, oh, score, like Fleur and Manu directed this video, but it just seems to be like a complete missed opportunity for just people to click around a little bit more and discover some new stuff, maybe discover some more music they want to get into, since there's such an aspect obviously to this, to Apple Music, of finding stuff. But like, you click on, oh, Fleur Manu, obviously Drake isn't just choosing a bunch, some nobody off the street. What did they direct before? And they can go in and check that out. I just don't think they have the infrastructure for that, but it is just a kind of a shame that they do that.
It's so funny that like to look at what like an interface they go with for something like this is because you could just tell that none of this stuff was considered. Very few things were probably considered. Like instead of likes, they have loves, for example. Like and little stupid things like that. Like that shouldn't have been. Like that's tacky and like it just like shows lack of thought for this element of and ultimately like this is one of the biggest elements of this new Apple Music product, right? Like that's the thing they're doing. They're rolling out all of these music videos. Like it, we've they're it's continuing. They're spilling into this week, and you sent me a link earlier in the week of that they're hiring music video producers at Apple Music now to create video content. So it's something that they're using and they're trying to get into further, but they're just kind of it seems very taped to the side of their actual product.
Yeah, and it seems very odd to me that like Apple has never really even mentioned the fact that they have music videos. I guess they are now, but they've always been like, oh, I guess we'll bring the music videos along. And I think because of Tidal, and I think because of the rise of the visibility of music videos, that they're like, oh, okay, well, now we have this service. It's good that we have all these music videos because people like this stuff now. Maybe they didn't like it maybe they weren't as popular, 6 or 7 years ago, but now this is a huge asset for us. And I think one of the weirdest decisions that I kind of was scratching my head when looking through the Apple Music Desktop Edition is, and I don't think they call it Desktop Edition. I think that's what Windows called itself in like 1998. But is this weird thing where when the thumbnail for the music videos in Apple Music are in the what do you call it? The aspect ratio. They're in the aspect ratio of the actual video. So if you go to Drake on Apple Music and you go down to his music videos, all the thumbnails are in like wildly varying sizes.
Oh, weird.
And it just looks very odd, and there's just no like thought gone into the music video offering. But they're still there, so maybe they'll work on it.
But here's the thing, they have some leeway, right? This is a Drake video for a song off his a really popular song off his last album, and the engagement that I see on the player right now is much lower than what the engagement would be if this video was on YouTube or Vimeo. I mean, they've got, you know, tw 12,000 loves and, you know, 2,000 comments. If this was on YouTube right now, it would have, you know, it's not giving us view counts, but like if we can extrapolate from those numbers, it's a smaller audience that's engaging with this video, and I feel like that's going to give artists pause, because before we were seeing music videos that were not the best, right? Like that Nicki Minaj and Beyoncé video that they put on Tidal wasn't, you know, it wasn't a high budget, you know, it's them throwing French fries at each other and looking good. But this Drake video is a Floor and Manu video. This is the type of video that thrives on video hosting websites because it gets shared through the channels that exist on those websites, and those channels don't exist in Apple Music. So unless someone is going directly to this Drake video because they saw it on Instagram, or excuse me, on Twitter or Facebook, how are they getting to this video? They're either an Apple Music user or they saw it on social media, and that's really narrowing your reach as an artist for this thing that everyone's now using as a product, and the artist is now like, well, wait, a fraction of the audience is now seeing this work. Like, where is it really that beneficial to me? Because I'm, you know, maybe I'm getting more extra money to put it on this place instead of that place. It just, you know, I feel like the audience that exists on video hosting sites and the community that exists aren't going to be able to be recreated on these services like Apple Music and Tidal.
And this video killed on blogs. I mean, people just ate this up because it's, if we talk a little bit about the content of the video, it's a Fleur and Manu video, but really out of character for them in terms of like the comedy aspect. So Drake is his face is kind of very convincingly superimposed onto like Justin Bieber and Oprah and
LeBron James.
LeBron James and Floyd Mayweather and Miley Cyrus, weirdly enough. And it's a really like if
OJ.
OJ, oh yeah, OJ's in there, why not? Throw in some OJ. And it's a very, I mean, it is a kind of like a perfect storm of elements to be very, very popular online. And plus, it's it's an amazing video because it's a Fleur and Manu video.
Yeah,
And
it's fantastic, and blogs ate it up for a lot of reasons, because it's fantastic, but also it was like, see Drake's face on Oprah's body, and that
yeah.
was enough. And like the Justin Bieber screenshot was everywhere, and it was
But
everywhere.
this would have like, I mean, how many millions of views would this have if it was on just if they threw it up on the Drake's like Vivo YouTube account?
Right,
Like
exactly.
100 million, 200 million?
Well, maybe not right, maybe not yet, but it would be on the ver. It would definitely be well in double digits, and you know, 2,000 comments is not that many. It's
No.
not that many. You know, to the, there is, you know, like a 5,000, or excuse me, 5 million view video is probably going to have like 8 or 9,000 comments, and this video would have gotten 5 million views on YouTube in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So it's been up for over a week now, since the 10th, on so a week now on Apple Music, and the engagement is low. Engagement's low.
And I think what's going to happen is, we're going through a period where where they're trying to gate this content, this music video content, but
And they're not achieving this either. They're not
no.
actually gating this. You can find Drake Energy on YouTube right now, five embeds of it. And if they get pulled down, they'll be back by the morning somewhere else.
But that there was, I think, actually to tie it back into Sprockets. Doug, remember my Sprockets talk? Would you give it a, so on a scale of 1 to 10, would you give it like a 5?
I'm going to give it a hard six.
Ooh, okay. All right,
No,
that's better than not what I was thinking. I was gonna
no.
give it a 5.
I think it's a 12.
Oh wow. Like a
Yeah,
12,000 loves?
it's got 12,000 loves for your speech. Your speech.
My speech, I had a podium. One of the things that I kind of stressed in that talk was, and I think, the more I think about it, the more I feel like I can kind of weigh, music video industry and, news and stuff like that against this kind of archetype and think about, is it going to work based on this, like the three elements of music videos. Like they're one, they're music, right? It's pretty easy. Two, they're kind of a, there's a film element, there's like an art element, and you can sell that. So those two work well, pretty well together. But the third element, I think, is what kills stuff like this, and that it's commercial. That energy video is still a commercial for Drake. So even if you've got the two, the music and film part working in concert, and Apple is using that to kind of set to kind of gate the content and say, you gotta be part of the system if you're gonna watch this stuff. I think the commercial aspect of it is gonna cause, the people who are trying to get Drake's music out there to say, 12,000 loves is not really what we were going for.
It's like, well, all right, so it's love. So maybe a love is worth two likes because, like, love is more significant.
Yeah,
So.
that they're kind of trying to tell them that at that point. I mean, they I think they would like to have I think they would like to be in the Taylor Swift, the Katy Perry, the Gangnam Style, stratosphere and be in the 1 billion views, why would you, why would you shy away from that? Like, I don't understand what Drake is gaining through putting this video out there on this platform.
Well, I'm sure it's being licensed directly by Apple Music, right? Apple Music is directly licensing it for this type of distribution. It's got to be. There's got to be, and payment. And so Drake could be like, all right, let's try this, or whoever makes this decision of where this music video exists. I'm sure it's not Drake specifically. It's someone on his payroll. But whoever makes that decision is like, okay, let's try this. You're going to pay me some money now, so it's worth it to try it for this money. But if you're only giving me, eventually they're going to weigh that against the lower engagement, and something else is going to have to give. It could be a larger thing. Like the thing that makes Apple Music, what's going to make Apple Music last beyond Tidal and potentially even Spotify, is that iTunes already makes money, so this is now like a second thing. They can still rely on making money from what they were already making money from. Spotify basically owns the streaming market right now, but they don't make money. They're still trying to figure out ways to actually make money, and artists aren't making money from it. So maybe Apple's got an additional leg up, and this becomes a part of a larger thing, that tie into music sales, and Apple could be in a different position than some of these other services. But beyond that, I don't really understand what the gain is, because you're right, it loses the commercial element of it. This no longer promotes this Drake album.
And I think we go back to the classic example of like, why would you not want people to see your Carl's Jr. ad? Because it's too good,
Yeah, why would you put walls around your content? Right,
right?
exactly.
Or just like the like, music videos are so unique. I don't think a lot of people who make the decisions about where they get put understand that uniqueness. They don't understand the relationship between the commercial, the film, and the music side. Because all of those sides, you can't ignore one. It's going to come back and bite you in the ass at some point. Because the reason that the top four, the only four videos on YouTube in the entire world over 1 billion views are music videos, and that it's all the way. Did you see that thing on Reddit a few months, maybe it was like 2 months ago, where there's this subreddit called Data is Beautiful, and that's a default subreddit now. And they had a post of like the top 25 YouTube videos, and as we know, all of them except David After Dentist were music videos, and people were
Oh,
like,
David After Dennis is there now,
"Oh no,
not Charlie Bit My Finger.
it's Charlie Bit My Finger." Sorry,
Okay,
wrong.
so here's another thing. We're not showing the data on our site, and YouTube doesn't show it. But like since last week, Vevo has announced that Roar has passed 1 billion views.
Oh,
So
so
I'm,
we got five.
yeah, we have five two Katy Perry videos,
Wow, okay.
two Katy Perry videos that came out in 2014. Or since 2014.
That's amazing, yeah. But people were kind of like shocked. They're like, "Oh my God, like I didn't like know that this was going on." And so they even had to
Oh,
put,
really? People didn't know.
yeah, they were like, "Wait a second, like these are all music videos."
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Because I think we kind of just like know, we've lived with this information for a while. We know that those are by far the most popular things. But the whole reason behind that is because the combination of YouTube plus free music videos works really, really well. People really like that, and it's very, very successful. And the reason, because it like embraces everything about music videos. So you have all these things that are like, well, music videos are popular, so let's try to catch a little bit of lightning in a bottle. I don't think it's going to work, and I think Apple Music is so problematic for so many reasons. First of all, I can't figure out how to use the fucking thing.
Right.
But the other reason is they just don't understand music videos.
No. Right. It's funny that there are, maybe it's less significant that to these companies than we think it is, but they really put it out there. And it's not just because it's not just like on our radar because we have radars up for music video stuff. I mean, if you go to the Apple Music Twitter account, they are, talking about these music videos on a very high level. And so, yeah, it's interesting. It's something that we're going to continue to look at. But like I mentioned last week, I think it's stuff that's important to kind of be watching as it's happening and just to see. There's like you said, you took a couple weeks off of the podcast, and music videos have moved in a massive. Like there's been like a shift in how you watch music videos suddenly. Now you don't know if it's a big artist, if their music video is going to be on YouTube or not, in any kind of official way. You can watch a shitty upload of the Drake Energy video all day on YouTube, but it's not going to be. And the player itself, like in terms of video quality, was pretty sharp in the Apple Music player. It was a janky ass player, but the video quality was sharp.
I saw stereo gum embedded. You can embed it, right? There's
Yeah,
no
it's.
like, and there's no like embed thing, but it's like if you know the jujitsu, you can figure it out, I
Yeah,
think.
you can figure it out. You can look. Yeah, it can be embedded. Yes, but it that you're not getting any meaningful data from it, and so it's only valuable in order to watch. But it is embeddable. Only one video so far that has premiered on Apple Music that I can tell. Has come to YouTube in an official capacity on a Vevo account. And that was a beach house or something. Shit, I can't remember now. Hold on, I guess it's worth saying who it is.
Beach House?
I think it might
Do
be
you think
beach
Beach House
house.
has a real beach house?
That would be tight. If they don't, I'd be mad.
I'd be angry
I would.
too. Beach
I
House,
would.
I mean they're a popular band. They can afford it now.
I wouldn't trust them ever again.
You got to be thinking after you make a few million bucks, you got to be th sitting around at a band meeting going, We gotta
You think they've made a few
buy a
million?
beach house.
You think they've made a few million bucks?
I think beach house has made a few million bucks.
I don't really know. I don't really know that enough to know. It's not a beach house video. It's somebody else. But let's talk about this million bucks thing. No, let's definitely not. Do you think the Drake? Do you think the Drake video is worth talking about in any other capacity than tied to Apple Music? Would you like to dig into it a little bit more in terms of content?
Sure. I mean, it's an interesting, fun video.
Now, I will say Floor and Mano did do a kind of their last video was kind of humorous, right? That Skrillex video where it was like,
oh, the Doompy Oomp video. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But okay, then, but yeah. Other than, and this is kind of this is very creepy. This video too, because the superimposing of Drake's face on other people is really great, but it is also done in a way where you know it's superimposed. Like, because they did. There's like for some of the people, they actually got the real person. Like the LeBron James, I think that's actually LeBron James that they used and actually brought him in and shot footage of LeBron James for this video. But I think they also use, like, there's a scene where he's on President Obama's body, and I think that is probably just someone who's got a President Obama body.
Yeah.
Which very easily they could have just put Drake there,
right?
But they still decided to put someone who looks like President Obama and then put Drake's face on that person. And so the fact that it is an effect, I don't think that they shy away from you knowing that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's sometimes like the Miley Cyrus face morph they decided to do was her kind of famous close up shot from the Wrecking Ball video.
Right.
Which they do a very, very weird blend of Drake's facial features with her face, which will give me nightmares for a long time.
A lot of this is very unsettling,
yeah.
But great. It's super unsettling, but funny. The Justin Bieber one is really great, but weird.
Do you think it's Justin Bieber's body?
In real life, or
I mean, they think they just like had, I mean, Justin Bieber has a lot of tattoos. It must have been really hot because they like exaggerated the bulge.
Yeah, but I think that's from his actual CK1 ad. Have you seen that CK1 ad?
Oh, I have, but I didn't remember it being so, like, exaggerated like that.
I don't remember if it was either.
Definitely shot some interesting stuff for
this. Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same. Yeah. You know, because actually, Justin Bieber has a better, at least in the ad, has he's trimmer. I was going to say better physique, but I guess I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true or not. I guess it depends on your type. So he's just a more slightly trimmer guy.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's fun seeing Drake put a music video like this. He's always obviously had a really good sense of humor. But it's interesting that he was like, I want to make a video that's going to be humorous in a way, and then went to Fleur and Manu. I guess the Doompy Oomp video is something that he maybe saw and liked the style of, because it's funny, but it's not like, you know, like slide whistle, you know, or pratfall funny.
Well, or he might have not even been thinking about, you know, that much in advance, and they just kind of got treatments from high level directors, and the comedy could have originated with Fleur and Manu. You know, I could see what this treatment could look like in my head. It could just be filled with all of these iconic images with Drake's face photoshopped on them. Like, that's very easily what this treatment could have been like. And that sounds like something that if I'm Drake and somebody sends me a treatment of that, Drake's face on Oprah and LeBron James and President Obama and Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus, and then these directors are like, and we're gonna do it in a video and it's gonna look this good, I'd be sold as Drake.
Totally be sold, yeah.
If I'm trying to embody Drake. So unlike the video where Drake is embodying other people, I'm trying to get in Drake's headspace.
I think you're there.
Yeah, I think I got there.
So we got that video. Do you want to talk about the Arcade Fire video?
Yeah, we can say check on Drake. Checked off Drake. Mm-hmm. And now let's do Arcade Fire. This is another kind of interesting video from this week, directed for porno, directed by Khalil Joseph, and it comes as part of a larger film or a larger project called The Reflector Tapes. I think it's a film called The Reflector Tapes that is, it just says coming soon in the description. So
In the video at the end, it says it gives a date. Of it says September 24th.
that's what I meant. It says September 24th, just a few months away.
It's, which is
So,
interesting. Yeah, what do you say?
well, I was just gonna say, I was pretty surprised to get an Arcade Fire video this week.
Yeah, because their album came out. They do that though. They wait a long ass time. I think the only video they released in 2014 was the.
Well, they did the David Wilson "We Exist" video came out very at the very front end, or excuse me, like in May of 2014, and then they put out that weird Win Butler directed "You Already Know" video in the summer of last year.
Yeah,
But then
but here now a year later.
it's been almost a year, and the first video from this album came out in early September 2013. So 2 years ago, they started putting out music videos. So for this album, so it's been a while. This is surprising, and but this is an interesting project. It seems like Khalil Joseph, who in addition to being, kind of an iconic music video director over the last few years, he's only done a handful of music videos, but they've all been kind of fantastic. The Flying Lotus, Until the Quiet Comes video, and the FKA Twigs Video Girl music video are both really fantastic videos. And they also did a film with Kendrick Lamar last year, called something cool. It's I think it's called Mad. I think it's called Mad City, or it's called Good Kid, Mad City, a short film. So he did a film with Kendrick Lamar as well, or Mad. I'm sorry. It's just called Mad.
Dog, what
Anyway,
is wrong with you?
I'm a mess. And the Reflector Tapes is also something that is based on the name of the Arcade Fire album, as the Khalil Joseph Kendrick Lamar film was based on the name of the Kendrick Lamar album. So this feels like a very similar project. I didn't see the Kendrick project, but you can't really gather much of what the film is going to be about by watching this porno video. This is it's pretty performance heavy and kind of location heavy, I would say.
I mean, one of the hints you get is that that's going to involve Haiti.
Well, right. Yeah, so look, but in terms of a narrative, I don't
Right. I think
really get
it's
a
going to
sense of that.
be, yeah, maybe it's going to be, I mean, what we see in it is, the, God, I forget everybody. Hold on, I have their names right here. Win Butler and his wife, Regine Chassange, who I never know how to pronounce her name. They're in
You just
Haiti.
say t you say title co-founders. Title co-owners.
Oh, are they really? I forgot about that. Oh,
Yeah, they were
wow.
some of the people who got rolled out on stage during that weird thing.
Wow. So they're in and Reflector is there are a lot of songs in that they're about Haiti and about and I think Renee Chassange is she's French Canadian, but I think the French part of her is fr like f like Haitian French. And I think she has some like familial ties to Haiti. So it's like it's been a big theme of theirs, and this looks like a lot of it takes place there. And there's definitely some performance stuff. It definitely looks like a kind of like a concert documentary, like in the style of A Rattle and Hum, a la Rattle and Hum kind of deal. But there is this, I don't even know if this video is going to be part of the actual film or if this is just a, sort of an offshoot of it, but it's a beautiful video. It's
Yeah, it
amazing.
really is. It really is beautiful, and it's like it's got it because it is pretty performance heavy, but it looks great, and it's got a great energy to it, and it's got kind of an interesting, what are they doing? Like just layering shots, basically.
Yeah, it's an interesting visual thing that I haven't really seen before, where basically you have one shot that's full screen, and then you have another shot within the shot, but they kind of work together to create a really interesting visual. But you're watching the main shot within the shot,
Yeah,
not.
but it's interesting how they do it. Like you kind of are wa you first watch the larger one, and then they kind of slap the second shot over top of it, and kind of it's slightly jarring. And at times they take it away, but for the most part, it's kind of this layered shot. And there's a few times where they kind of line up, and it creates this really interesting kind of like strange perspective with what you're looking at near the end. But yeah, the video is really beautiful, and I liked it a lot. I was really excited about this video, and because it felt a lot like the last one I didn't love. The last Arcade Fire video, the Win Butler directed, you already know, is just like a bunch of microphones set up around a room with paintings with their mouths moving, singing the song. It's really kind of dumb video, and I was kind of when I saw that this videos was released, and it's got kind of this unassuming thumbnail of of Win Butler, and I'm not even try to say his wife's name because I don't even have it written down. But they're just kind of like
Renee.
Renee, just kind of like standing outside with a drum, like it's very unassuming. I was like, oh, this, and then I
Here
watched
we go again for another fucking video.
like another thing I gotta press play on. But no, it was great actually. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, it was a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, there's some. Looks like there's gonna be some pretty amazing concert footage. And so at the song ends kind of. This is a long video. It's like 7 minutes and something seconds. And it kind of. The song ends like a good 2 minutes before the end of the video. And you just get like this like visual and soundscape, like this collage of concert stuff, which is really. It's tough to describe, but you gotta go watch it because it's really
Yeah, some
fantastic.
and their Arcade Fire's live show, it was an element in the We Exist video, and their tour has been, it was kind of a big deal when they were touring. They were asking people to like dress up, and they had all this kind of stage theatrics, and some of those things are in this video. There's this dude with like all this mirror suit or something, and I think that that's an element in their stage performance. I feel like I've seen that dude.
Yeah, he's a big time dude.
That dude's around. That mirror
Yeah,
dude.
I mean he's
People know the mirror dude.
if you got a mirror suit and you think his camera's a mirror too, you're not sitting at home watching Netflix.
No,
You're out there.
you get in front of people. You're
You're
saying, check
reflecting.
me out. Check my mirror face out.
I think he's like Mr. Reflector, I think is the idea. Like he's reflecting everything.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I think that's the deal.
Every song has from that album has a new meaning now for me.
It's yeah, the original name of the album was Mr. Reflector.
Mirror Boy,
Yeah.
Arcade Fire, Mirror Boy, and they decided to scrap that. They're like, Reflector maybe seems a little bit more mysterious.
I have an excellent segue into
Let's do
the
it.
U2 video.
I'll roll
Yeah,
with you on it.
here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So reflect the if you know U2 fans of who remember the band's period from, the Octoon Baby days and up into pop, so basically the entire 90s, will remember Bono's character, the Mirrorball Man, who is actually very, very similar to the Mr. Reflector character that they've got.
That's the clunkiest segue ever, but I'm gonna give it to
Whoa,
you.
whoa, that's a fantastic segue.
It's great. It just feels like it feels a little heavy for me. I'm feeling the weight, but
It's a
that's fine.
deep cut. I'm gonna you know I'm gonna IMU a picture of Mirrorball Man real quick.
Okay, that's fine.
Hold on.
I'll wait for that. But I'm giving it to you though. I'm saying that it is one. Just saying that I'm feeling it.
Think I broke the internet by searching for Mirrorball Man. My browser won't load anymore.
All right, well, if you don't remember the song For Someone by U2 music video directed by Vincent Haycock, I can remind you what happens.
Okay, well, tell me about Woody Harrelson's journey out of prison.
Yeah, so it's got famous actor Willie Harrelson, Woody Harrelson, as a man who is in a prison cell, and he's shaving his face, and he then kind of is being let out of the prison, and you don't necessarily you don't I guess not. You don't necessarily realize it right away that he's being led out of the prison. You just know he's being led through the prison. So for me, I was kind of like, while this video was playing initially, I was trying to figure out if they were about to let him go or kill him. And
Oh, yeah, that's a good one,
I
yeah.
wasn't really sure. And him kind of just going through it's not just like a couple of shots. Like this is, they take their time with and this. Each kind of thing that he passes becomes a moment. As he passes like in individual cells and different parts of the prison, it's not just, it's significant each time he does each thing he passes. But eventually you see him outside. And while he's shaving, he is kind of like looking at a picture of a young girl assumed to be his daughter, which is another thing that kind of like is he missing his daughter, or is he like worried because he's about to die that he's not going to see his daughter again? These are things going to go through your mind when a video is being very methodical, like this one is. You kind of are filling in the story for this Woody Harrelson character as he's led through the prison. So you see him get out, and then he walks to a car, and there's a young, like teenager, college age girl who looks a lot like the girl in the picture, waiting for him. And they kind of drive away from the prison together. It's like very, there's like a uncomfortable familiarity between the two characters that exists, and then it kind of just ends with them driving away. She's got like some food for him or something like that, but there's, it's all about just kind of these subtle moments throughout the video. And something that's very interesting to me about the video is the girl who plays the character's daughter. Sorry, if I didn't say that, it's revealed that it's his daughter. The girl who plays Woody Harrelson's daughter in this video is actually Woody Harrelson's daughter, which is
Zoe Harrelson.
Zoe, which is cool. I think that some of that familiarity that comes from these performances is because it's actually there. I think that that is a significant casting.
And this is a long video, we should mention. This is like a 7.5 minute video, where admittedly not a lot takes place. What's that?
I'm looking at it as a 9 minute video, but is that the maybe it's a little longer cut on
What's the, I think the YouTube version is 7.5 minutes.
okay, I've got nine, it's nine on Vimeo. Sorry.
Really? Okay. Huh. And I did watch the Vimeo version, and then I just looked at the thing from the time
Interesting.
from. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also watch the Vimeo version.
So this is Vincent Haycock. And what was the last video that Vincent did?
Probably Florence and the Machine. He did a series of videos for Florence and the Machine.
Right. I'm a really big YouTube fan, and have been for a long time, and I think there are many amazing things about them. I think they're one of the greatest live acts ever. I think they're like a legend, like one of the if not the best bands of all time. And I think one thing that they just are not great at is music videos, and I think they have been for a long time. And they've worked with like some of the most amazing music video directors of all time, like, and Vincent Haycock was an amazing choice for this, like, Mark Romanek, like Alex and Martin, Chris Melk, Phil Juanu, Alex and Martin. I said that again. And
Joseph Kahn,
Joseph
Jonas
Kahn
Åkerlund.
directed a bunch of videos for them. Kevin Godley actually did a good job for them. Stéphane Sednoui, I can never remember who. But anyway, these are all amazing music video directors who I would put in any list of amazing music video directors, and I think they've all done some of their worst work with you too. Like,
This last album, this Haycock video and the last one, the Every Breaking Wave video, have actually, I think you're right outside of these two videos,
Right.
essentially.
And it's not that they have never done great videos. I mean, in their career, they did some. Like, I think maybe one of the most famous is the rooftop video from Where the Streets Have No Name. But they like, you know, think of like Stéphane Sednaoui. I have no idea how to pronounce his
No, but
first
that's
name.
fine. It's a different point to say that, like, they haven't made good music videos, but what you're saying is that some of the videos that they've done are the worst videos for certain directors.
Right, like I think Elevation, directed by Joseph Kahn from 2001, is quite possibly, I would say it's Joseph Kahn's worst music video by far. It is a bizarrely terrible music video, and we know Joseph Kahn can knock it out of the park. I mean, you know, talking about like Mark Romanek killed it with Shake It Off in 2014. I mean, that is going to go down as like an iconic music video. And his video for Invisible is just boring. It just is sucks. And you're watching it, and you're like, these are two, this is like my favorite band and one of my favorite directors. I should be enjoying the hell out of this, but it just doesn't work. And you can go down the line of so many directors. I remember when Alex and Martin and like in the mid 2000s were the hottest music video directors out there. They did the amazing video for Seven Nation Army, I believe, for the White Stripes. And U2, you know, I remember hearing like U2 is gonna work with Alex and Martin, and they did a video for Vertigo, and it's like, I firmly believe it is Alex and Martin's worst video. It is not great. But anyway, it's so in terms of this video, you know, I think anybody who watches music videos nowadays would count Vincent Haycock every single time as one of their favorite directors. And I think just something about this video just seems off to me. I just don't I didn't really enjoy it that much.
Interesting. You didn't, so you so I did enjoy this video. I thought it a lot, but it's very subtle, and it is and like you said, not a ton of stuff happens. What is that your primary beef with it, that it just is very very subtle and not a lot going on?
No, not really. I think that a video can be pretty subtle. I think it is a little, I mean, I think it is a little long in the tooth. I think I really wasn't sure of the necessity of that. But I felt like, so there has been this trend, and again, we've talked about this a million times, of like actors using music videos to like now do like an interesting role. The classic example is like Ryan Garfield doing that, you know, the role in Arcade Fire We Exist. And you know, it's something that is like low time commitment, and they can just kind of explore something interesting that maybe they wouldn't be able to do in a feature film. And I just don't feel like Woody Harrelson like had a lot to do. I mean, you can
Yeah, it
maybe
feels
he's
like
kind of
you want
looking
to.
sad, but like there's nothing really that interesting about his character. I mean, he's getting out of jail and he has a daughter, but there's
It
nothing
exists in
really
the car.
else.
There's something there in the car ride a little bit.
Yeah, he says like the last thing he says to her is like, "You're so beautiful," and she seems like kind of like in the way teenagers are, you know, obviously like kind of a little embarrassed, and then he
Yeah,
starts.
but it feels very genuine. Their relationship to one another to me felt very genuine. And Woody Harrelson's daughter is an actress. If you Google her, there's a lot of it looks like a lot of plays.
Yeah, if I was Woody Harrelson's daughter, I'd be an actress too. But the thing
Yeah,
is that,
right.
like think of like Jake Gyllenhaal's character in the "Choose Time to Dance" video. I mean, he was given so there he brought an amazing depth to that character with not a lot to, with no like actions to do. I mean, he had actions to do, but with no backstory. I'm not talking about like giving him like a backstory and like giving little clues here and there. That I think that's unnecessary for a music video and is really reductive for a music video. But Jake Gyllenhaal was given a lot of freedom to kind of build a character without building a narrative.
It definitely. I still think there are some things about the way this video is executed that are successful, but it's not as it's definitely not as good as a lot of the Vincent Haycock stuff like that he's been doing, particularly with Florence and the Machine or even the Paul McCartney or Lana Del Rey videos from last year.
That Lana Del Rey video is just blows me away every time, and all of his videos do. And I don't think it has anything to do with Vincent Haycock. I don't think it has anything to do with Woody Harrelson or Steve Annis, who did a fantastic job as a DP for this video. I really do think it's U2. I don't know what it is about them.
Well, you guys, you keep blowing it, you two.
U2. Have you listened to you talking U2 to me?
No, is that a podcast?
That's a podcast with Scott Aukerman.
Oh, nice.
Scott Aukerman and Adam Scott.
So I remember showing you Comedy Bang Bang, and you not being, it was probably the worst episode of Comedy Bang Bang ever, and you not being super into it.
Yeah, but I'm gonna give it a second shot because
Because you like this other podcast.
it is it's and I listen to a lot of podcasts. It is by far my favorite podcast. Because
Better than the Gilmore Guys?
better than yeah, I tried we tried Gilmore Guys on a road trip and it didn't we only lasted about 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. Nice.
No offense to Gilmore Guys, but it's the podcast is amazing. And they just released a episode yesterday where they recount the story of meeting Bono backstage at a U2 concert. So it's tough to describe, but it is my favorite podcast.
Tight. We'll link to that in the show notes.
What else we got?
Well, I think we should round out the night, the evening, the podcast. I guess it's not necessarily an evening
Oh, it's
when
an
you're
evening.
listening to it. I mean, it's an evening for us, but it might not be an evening for a listener,
True.
potential listener, maybe a morning or an afternoon. So whatever time of day or whatever day of the week it is for you, we're gonna end this podcast with Yo La Tango's music video for Friday I'm in Love. I think it's a good place to end. Directed by Jason Wolliner, I think is how you say his name. And Jason Wolliner is a television director, usually. He directed Human Giant, and he directs a lot of like the Aziz Ansari comedy specials. So he hasn't directed a lot of music videos. We've only got this credit for him on the site right now. But I love this video. I don't know about you, Adam.
I did, and this is a cover of the Cure song "Friday, I'm in Love" from 1992, done by Yo La Tango, and the video kind of follows who is the lead singer of Yo La
I
Tango?
don't know if I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if this person singing is actually in the band, maybe. I don't know too much about Yo La Tango, even though I just saw him live recently.
Yeah, no, she's in the band. I just forget her name. Hold on a second.
Ira Kaplan
Is that her?
is no, that's what Ira Kaplan is a man, and that's who is listed as the lead singer of Yo La Tango.
Ooh, okay, so maybe I'm wrong. Okay, I
I
might be
think
wrong.
this person is I think this is a featured artist, maybe. I don't know for sure, actually. What do I know about anything? Nothing.
We don't, man, we ended that as a strong note.
Georgia Hubley, and she is in the band.
Yes. Okay. I definitely thought she was in
You're
the
right.
band.
So we'll fix all of that, or not.
So this video is, it's fair to say, Doug, we've seen some weird narratives in videos. This one may be one of the strangest, and not for just being all out freaky weird, but the whole arc of it. So, this woman Hubert is walking through the city. The camera is on her. She's picking up these little figurines, and in the background you can see people being obliterated by space, debris from the space.
Right.
And you soon find out through a course of events that these are heart-shaped meteors of some sort. And these are kind of causing the destruction of symbol. They're the apocalypse is basically brought on by these heart-shaped meteors.
And these heart-shaped meteors appear to be brought on by this song.
Right, exactly. And people are, freaking out, obviously. But then the weird and interesting part to me is that there's so at the very end, you see a po post-apocalyptic society, and it's like these people that are like gathered around this old man who's telling stories, and he's holding up a calendar and he's showing them a calendar of the days of the week, but Friday is missing and Thursday is twice as long.
Thursday is just 2 days. It's so good.
I think the implication is that like that's how they stopped the meteors,
Yeah,
is
they just
that
got rid of Friday. You couldn't be in love with Friday anymore because it didn't exist. I love that, like, all of this mayhem in the background is all out of focus. It's never, like, super clear. There's people screaming at her as she's singing the song. Just, like, such mayhem. Actually, Hank Friedman, who was a guest on this podcast, did some of the visual effects in the background. He's part of a large team. That did some effects on this video. This video reminds me a lot. Do you remember that "Don't Stop or We'll Die" music video that we for Lisa about? And it was like Lisa, and it was like you love pizza, and it was like pizza
Oh,
puppies. It reminds me a lot of
yeah. But it
that.
does have that quality to it, yeah. Or it reminded me a little bit of the I can't remember the Bare Naked Ladies song directed by Rooster Teeth.
Oh,
Odds
but the one
are.
that was like news or something?
Yeah, where there was an apocalypse.
Right.
Because it did have that kind of news element to it. But yeah, I found this video very, very entertaining and just kind of like wacky and weird in a way that is very satisfying. This thing that makes in the way they're trying to tie like a logic to it, but there really is no logic to it at all. Like this idea that getting rid of a day will like save humanity of some
And that,
sort.
the, and that, and that. This is how, like, the heart meteors are coming down on the earth because of a song being sung. Like,
Yeah.
there's just so much of a mess. Like, just like crazy rules that exist in this universe. But I'm entertained by them all. Every
Yeah.
new rule is one that was is entertaining.
Every breaking, like the U2 song, every breaking rule.
That is like the U2 song.
So I think we did it, probably.
It feels like we did it. It
I don't know, you.
feels to me like we did it. I haven't had this feeling in a while. You haven't been on the podcast in a while.
Know.
So, but I feel this feels familiar to me, and it feels like it's a feeling of that we did it.
Is that why you guys, instead of just ending the podcast, you guys would just slowly fade it out over 15 minutes for the episodes that I wasn't on?
Yeah, that is because we couldn't really figure out how to, like, the feeling was never there. So we were just like, we just kind of like make noises at each other for 15 minutes and slowly fade it out.
It was. I gotta be honest, I didn't really enjoy that part, but.
Well, it's good that we're getting rid of it now. Now that you're back, it's gone.
So to recap, if you are in anywhere near Georgia or Athens, Georgia, get thee to Athens, Georgia for the July 24th and 25th Sprockets Music Video Festival. Go check out our site, imvdb.com. What are you waiting for? I
Yeah,
know,
what are you doing?
yeah, well,
Fucking problem.
that you can listen to a lot of podcasts there. This is episode 162 of This Week in Music Videos. That's a lot of content if you want it.
Lot of us talking about stuff.
Right. And you know what? I haven't said this in a while, but we'll see you guys next week.